Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, August 5th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Investors await the July jobs report for signs of a slowing or strong labor market.
Democrats agree on a revised version of their tax and climate bill.
Tesla shareholders agree on a 3-for-1 stock split.
And U.S. health officials declare monkeypox a public health emergency.
Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones has been ordered to pay $4.1 million in the Sandy Hook case. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets hit 4 home runs, beat the Braves in the start of the big 5-game series the Yankees play tonight in St. Louis.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And futures are little changed this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P and NASDAQ futures, little change. Dow futures higher, up 39. And the 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.69%. Nathan.
Hi, Karen. Global stocks are trading near a 2-month high this morning ahead of the July jobs report. Economists are looking for a slowdown in the labor market. The median forecast is for a gain of 250,000 jobs. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Since it's backward-looking, July's change in U.S. payrolls won't have much value for forecasters trying to predict recession. Companies are also reluctant to let go of workers, even if business is starting to slow, given the current labor shortage. While a consensus print would be the lowest since the economy lost jobs in December 2020, it would still be above the average of 193,000 jobs created per month in the 5 years before the pandemic. And it would continue to reassure Fed officials that rising interest rates aren't tanking the economy yet. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Another major story out of Washington. Senate Democrats are closer to passing their tax and energy bill. Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema, one of the last holdouts on the deal, now says she's on board. That's after Democrats took out a provision that would have narrowed a tax loophole for fund managers and added a new 1% tax on stock buybacks. But there's still one hurdle left, and that's according to Jim Kessler, co-founder of Third Way and former legislative policy director for Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The parliamentarian is looking at this bill. There's always things that don't pass what's called the bird bath. Some of the procedural rules with reconciliation, which means language will need to be tweaked.
Third Way co-founder Jim Kessler spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. The parliamentarian should rule on the bill today. Democrats could work into the weekend to vote on the measure tomorrow.
We've seen new tensions between the U.S. and China this morning, Karen, over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. Beijing has announced sanctions against the speaker and her immediate family. It also says it's stopping climate talks with the U.S. along with any military dialogue and meetings with the Defense Department.
Well, we have some major news on the health front this morning, Nathan, with the U.S. declaring a federal emergency because of monkeypox. Researchers are trying to get some answers on how to combat the disease. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Health and Human Services says about 6,600 cases nationwide, with researchers now asking questions like, does a person who had a smallpox vaccine as a child have immunity? The head of the White House COVID Task Force is Dr. Ashish Jha.
Smallpox, monkeypox, very related to each other as viruses go. You would think that if you got vaccinated as a kid against smallpox, you would have protection. We don't know yet. We're still looking at the data. We are seeing some older people still get infected.
Meanwhile, as well as the federal government, more and more states are declaring states of emergency as well. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to corporate news this morning, shares of Tesla are a little changed in the pre-market. The shareholders have approved a 3-for-1 stock split. Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
This stock split takes the shares to around $300 a share, was first tweeted by Tesla in March, and then when this meeting was confirmed and scheduled with the agenda a month ago, we knew it was coming. And the thing that's missing for investors out there is we do not know more details about the date that this stock split becomes effective of. You've seen this before. There was a 5-for-1 stock split in August 2020, really boosted the stock. The logic, bring the price down, make it more accessible, and Tesla has a massive retail investor base.
And Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow says this stock split could give a lift to Tesla shares again. They're up nearly 50% from a late May low.
Well, Nathan, one other note from Tesla's shareholder meeting has Elon Musk giving his anecdotal view on the economy. The Tesla CEO says he thinks the worst may be over when it comes to inflation.
Most of our commodities, most of the things that go into a Tesla, not all, but I don't know, more than half, the prices are trending down in six months from now. Now, this could change, obviously, but the trend is down, which suggests that we are past peak inflation.
Musk also reiterates that he expects a mild recession in the U.S. that could last about 18 months.
We got lots of stocks on the move this morning, Karen, following a slew of earnings late yesterday. Shares of Lyft are up almost 8%. The company says rideshare volumes are on track to exceed pre-COVID levels as it reported the highest earnings in its history. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It's a sign that investment to stem a shortage of drivers is paying off. Revenue rose 30% from a year earlier to $991 million, beating the $986.7 million street estimate. The quarter shows Lyft is approaching a full recovery from the pandemic amid a broad-based rebound in ride-hailing that also boosted rival Uber in the period. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, let's get a look at some other stocks on our radar this morning. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John, good morning.
Karen, the quarterly loss at DoorDash worse than what analysts expected, but the company says its food delivery business remains healthy and growth continues in the second quarter. Well, that's what investors latched onto. DoorDash shares jumping 12% this morning. Yelp reporting a profit in the last quarter, boosting its full-year earnings guidance. The online directory says strong advertiser demand drove record net revenue. The shares jumped 18%, and Beyond Meat slashing its revenue outlook for the full year. Shoppers are trading down from its plant-based food to cheaper animal proteins. Shares down over 1% this morning. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures are down 1 point. Dow futures up 25. NASDAQ futures are lower by 19 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. 6:07 on Wall Street, 79 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with a crash northbound Major Deegan at Yankee Stadium. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The tri-state area will have another hot day. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, heat advisory remains in effect for the tri-state area until 8 p.m. this evening. We're back up into the 90s today with the humidity. It'll feel like it's around 100. Only difference today over yesterday is the potential for some cooling showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Not everyone will see them, but those folks who do could see some very heavy downpours. It'll remain warm through the upcoming weekend. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. Donald Trump's lawyers are in talks with federal prosecutors over conversations the former president had with advisors and whether he'd be able to shield them from investigators of the January 6th assault on the Capitol. CNN reports it is the first indication the two sides are in direct talks as the federal probe accelerates. A Texas jury ruled conspiracy theorist Alex Jones must pay more than $4 million in defamation damages for falsely claiming the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting was a hoax. While it was less than the $150 million being sought, counsel Mark Bankston was happy with the verdict.
It was my goal when I started on this case to get this family a multi-million dollar verdict for their pain and suffering. And I've already done that, plus additional money for the $1 million in sanctions Jones paid us.
Counsel Mark Bankston says the jury returns today for the punitive phase of the case. Meanwhile, the January 6th committee has asked for texts from the InfoWars host. A face-off in Florida over abortion. Governor Ron DeSantis says he's suspended Tampa's top prosecutor, but Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren says he's an elected official just like the governor and is not going anywhere. At issue is Warren's decision not to criminalize abortions, which a new state law bans after 15 weeks with some exceptions. Warren says a court already has ruled the ban violates Florida's constitutional right to privacy. However, DeSantis said prosecutors cannot pick and choose which laws to enforce.
You can exercise discretion in an individual case, but that discretion has to be individualized and case specific. You can't just say you're not going to do a certain offenses.
Governor DeSantis. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. Big crowd at Citi Field. Bit of a playoff atmosphere for the start of Mets-Braves. 5 games in 4 days between the top two in the NL East. The Mets led 5-0. They went on to win 6-4. And they now lead Atlanta by 4.5 games. 4 Met home runs. Pete Alonso is 29th. Daniel Vogelbach is 2nd in as many days. And another new Met, Tyler Naquin, played his first home game with his new team. Homer twice.
That's awesome. I've been playing here for 4 years, that's a good night. But, no, man, it's very enjoyable. The fans, you know, even from, you know, warming up on the line made me feel right at home. So even going out to left, just they made me feel good. So it's nice to feel that way and step into the box comfortable.
Carlos Carrasco got the win. Edwin Diaz the save, the first of his 24 saves where he pitched 2 innings, an indication of how big this series is. Continues tonight, doubleheader tomorrow. Yankees are in St. Louis tonight, and then tomorrow they'll face Jordan Montgomery, who will make his Cardinals debut against his old team. The NFL named Peter Harvey to hear its appeal of the Deshaun Watson 6-game suspension. They want it to be longer. Harvey is the former attorney general for the state of New Jersey. Preseason football Hall of Fame game, Canton, Ohio. That's where Josh McDaniels grew up. He played high school games in that stadium. Longtime Patriots assistant. He's now the head coach of the Raiders, who beat Jacksonville, who's now coached by ex-Eagles coach Doug Peterson. Very few starters played. No Derek Carr. No Devontae Adams, now a Raider. No Trevor Lawrence. The Hall of Fame ceremonies take place tomorrow. 7 inductees in Canton. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures, little change now. Dow futures up 35 points. NASDAQ futures are lower, down 14 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32, yield 2.69%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.05%, ahead of July jobs. We'll preview the numbers with Tom Porcelli, senior U.S. economist at RBC Capital Markets. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today. Chance for showers and storms with a heat advisory in effect till 8 tonight. We get up to near 95 degrees. We'll be in the upper 80s tomorrow. Right now, 79 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe and U.S. stock index futures are struggling for direction this morning as investors brace for the monthly U.S. jobs report that's likely to add to the recession debate. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures, they're up 30. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany, it's down about 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32, yield 2.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.05%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 23 cents at $88.31 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.30 at $18.02.60 an ounce. And Bitcoin up 2.8% at $23,140. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, China has announced sanctions on U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her immediate family members. It's over her recent trip to Taiwan. The Biden administration declared monkeypox a public health emergency. More than 7,000 cases have been detected in the U.S. so far. A lightning strike just in front of the White House in Lafayette Square has critically injured 4 people. In baseball, the Mets beat the Braves 6-4. The Red Sox lost to the Royals. The Nationals and Giants also lost. The A's beat the Angels 8-7. NFL Hall of Fame game, the Raiders over the Jaguars 27-11. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, which means we're just about 2 hours and 10 minutes away from the release of the July payrolls report from the Labor Department. Ahead of that, we are joined live this morning by Tom Porcelli, Managing Director and Chief U.S. economist at RBC Capital Markets. Tom, it's great to speak with you this morning. We have seen signs ahead of the release of this overall report that we are getting some cooling in the labor market. What do you expect we're going to see when the data comes out at 8:30 this morning?
Yeah, good morning. Look, I think this actually could be another pretty decent number. I mean, we're north of consensus. We're looking for about 320,000 on the headline, 300 for private. But, you know, and that would be, I don't know what that is. You probably know this better than me, 50,000 or more above consensus. I think if you get a number like that, I think what that does is it just sort of, you know, it feeds this narrative that's been put in place, particularly starting on Monday. When you had all these Fed officials come out and basically unwind so much of what Powell had said during his FOMC presser, which is to say, hey, you know, look, we're not stopping this cycle anytime soon. So I think you get another strong report, and I think that certainly will lend itself to you know, people sort of really pushing that idea even more. I would caution against that, because even though I were expecting a pretty strong number here, the reality is, as you rightly highlight, there's already factors that are suggesting to us that things are going to cool down and probably cool down pretty considerably going into year end.
Well, what are you looking at that makes you think that we are going to get a stronger number than consensus? Because we did see some moderation in the jobless claims yesterday and some other signs of potentially wages cooling as well.
Yeah, no, let me be very, very, and anyone who reads my research knows this. You know, we go where the data take us. If there's a single month where our models are telling us it's going to be a decent number, that's fine. But as I'm sort of fond of saying, like, I'm less interested in sort of any single month's number. I'm more interested in sort of the narrative. And the narrative is exactly what you highlight. So I would discount the strong number, even if we're right and you get it, because what we're looking at are things like claims. And again, I said this yesterday with Tom Keene and the team. I think what you have to keep in mind is we're up meaningfully from the lows. We're 166,000 as a low 3 months ago. We're up 50%. From a claims perspective, that usually feeds into rising unemployed with a bit of a lag. So by the end of the year, I mean, we've said this many times, you could be staring at job losses. I mean, I don't think that is a stretch at all. Like, we're not going out on a limb by saying that. So and just one last point, because I think you're right. If the labor backdrop was as tight as people think, then why are wage pressures slowing down right now? And just to be clear, it's not like they've gone from, like, you know, 6% to 5.5%. They've gone from 6% to, like, 2.5%, right? Like, there's been a meaningful slowing in wages, if you look at it the right way, and if you look at the right measure of wages, too, right? Average hourly earnings are an incomplete way of thinking about wage dynamics. You've got to look at average weekly earnings, which obviously includes the hours component. And when you do that, you see that there's actually already been a pretty notable slowing.
It sounds like you're on board with a lot of what we're hearing from Fed speakers lately, that they've still got a ways to go to keep hiking interest rates and keep getting inflation down. Is the payrolls report that we get part of what's feeding into that for you?
No. So let me just be clear. That's not the right way of characterizing our stance. I don't think that they just have to keep on, like, haphazardly hiking rates here. I think if they want to get rates into a restrictive territory, I'm totally sympathetic to that. In fact, I would have argued, or I have argued, that we should have been there a long time ago. But this notion that we're just supposed to just continue to hike rates aggressively, right, well, like, without any, like, sort of real end in sight in the near term, I think that's foolish. And I think the problem with that is it'll drive us into a much deeper slowing than I think we have to have.
Well, when do you think the Fed will need to pivot away from rate hikes? What's your call on that? We've got about a minute left here, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I could be very quick on that. I think that they're done by the end of the year. And then I think an easing cycle starts shortly thereafter.
All right, Tom Porcelli, the chief U.S. economist at RBC Capital Markets, coming in ahead of consensus. The median forecast of economists surveyed by Bloomberg calls for 250,000 new jobs added in the month of July and an unemployment rate of 3.6%. Tom and the team at RBC are going for 300,000. We get the complete numbers, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Of course, we'll have full coverage for you here on Bloomberg Radio. We'll get reaction as well from Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. He'll be joining us here on Bloomberg Radio and television after the release of the July payrolls report. Tom, again, thanks for your insights ahead of the release of the data. Looking ahead to the market open this morning, we have S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures up 25, NASDAQ futures lower by 23 points. It's been pretty much little changed throughout the early morning session. Market's kind of in wait-and-see mode. vote ahead of the payrolls release. 10-year Treasuries down 1/32nd. The yield 2.69%. Yield on the 2-year right now, 3.05%. NYMEX crude fell below $90 a barrel, still there, $88.43, down about a 0.1% on the session. COMEX gold is down $4.80, $18.02.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.0228 against the dollar. The yen is at 133.03. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, heat advisory till 8 tonight. We'll get up to near 95 degrees with a chance for a shower or storm. Upper 80s tomorrow, back in the low 90s on Sunday. Right now, 79 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers' simple IBKR Global Trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, U.S. futures are little change this morning ahead of the July jobs report. The median forecast is for, again, of 250,000 jobs. That would be down from 372,000 the prior month. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The consensus forecast for job growth anticipates a bit of a labor market slowdown, but not necessarily because the economy is slowing. Companies are still reporting it's difficult to find workers. And economists surveyed by Bloomberg don't see any change in the unemployment rate. If that's the case, the Fed can continue to prioritize the fight against inflation first, continuing raising interest rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We're following another major story this morning out of Washington. Senate Democrats plan to vote as soon as tomorrow on their tax and energy spending bill. Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema says she is on board after tweaks to its tax provisions. Jim Kessler, co-founder of Third Way, says this does not have to be a Democrats-only bill.
You know, I think if Republicans were being really honest in the Senate, if it was a secret ballot, I bet about 15 or 20 Republicans would vote for this bill.
Third Way co-founder Jim Kessler spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the show weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, we're seeing new tensions between the U.S. and China, Nathan, over House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. Beijing has announced sanctions against the speaker and her immediate family. It also says it will stop climate change talks with the U.S., along with any military dialogue and meetings with the U.S. Defense Department.
All right, turning to corporate news this morning, Karen, shares of Tesla are down nearly 1% in early trading. That's after shareholders approved a 3-for-1 stock split.
Well, Nathan, after a strong July for stocks, some well-known strategists say it's time to sell. More in this live report with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, Michael Hartnett at Bank of America says investors should fade the S&P 500. He maintains the bottom for the benchmark is below 3,600 or 13% below current levels. He points to data showing global equity funds had outflows of $2.6 billion in the latest period. HSBC strategist Mac Kettner also warning of a sharp end to the rally, changing his stance on equities to maximum underweight. And Karen?
All right, John, thank you. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 79 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with the crash northbound Major Deegan at Yankee Stadium. We'll get you more in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A heat advisory remains in effect for today in the tri-state area. Temperatures will hit 90 degrees in New York City and the humidity will remain. Experts say there is an increased danger for heat stroke if outside for extended periods of time. Drink plenty of fluids to stay hydrated. A Texas jury ruled that conspiracy theorist Alex Jones has to pay more than $4 million in compensatory damages to the parents of one of the first graders killed in the Sandy Hook massacre. Jones pushed his false claims on his InfoWars broadcast that the shooting, which left 26 people dead, was a hoax. Plaintiff attorney Mark Bankston says the verdict is just the beginning.
We're not even done yet, and I'm already getting to tell my families, yes, Mr. Jones is going to transform your life with the money that we take from him.
Plaintiff attorney Mark Bankston says the jury returns today for the punitive phase of the trial. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban addressed the Conservative Political Action Conference in Dallas, Texas. Orban called on the audience to unite with him against progressive liberals.
We have seen what kind of future the globalist ruling class has to offer. But we have a different future in mind. The globalists can all go to hell. I have come to Texas.
Orban is a close political ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Brittany Griner's WNBA teammates reacted to her sentence in a Russian prison camp. Griner's Phoenix Mercury teammates and opposing players held 42 seconds of silence before their game to show support for the basketball star sentenced to 9 years in a Russian prison camp. 42 is the number of Griner's jersey. Griner's coach, Vanessa Nygaard.
I couldn't imagine being in that situation, and she was so courageous. And like continuing to be a good role model in so many ways of this impossible situation, and she showed great strength and great humility.
Coach Vanessa Nygaard. Actor Kevin Spacey was ordered to pay $31 million to the House of Cards production company for alleged sexual misconduct that got him booted from the popular Netflix series and upended his career. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Mets NL East lead over Atlanta was once 10.5 games. It was cut down to a half game, and now it's back up to 4.5. Four more games this weekend between the two at Citi Field. The game tonight, two tomorrow. Jacob DeGrom pitches Sunday. Mets beat the Braves 6-4 as new Met Tyler Naquin homered twice. Daniel Vogelbach and Pete Alonso also went yard. 29th of the year for Alonso. Carlos Carrasco got the win. And interesting decision by Buck Showalter to let his all-star closer Edwin Diaz pitch the last two innings. He had never had a six-out save before in his career.
They said my name. You know, I was thinking maybe I came in the A, faced the two, three, four I was facing, and maybe like I did in L.A. Resting for tomorrow, but they asked me how you feel to go again out. I said I feel great. And the manager told me I'm basically going to go out and win the game. And
Diaz has been outstanding all season. He has struck out more than half the batters he has faced. Yankees start a weekend series tonight in St. Louis. They're only game and a half ahead of the Astros for best record in the American League as Houston shut out Cleveland. Justin Verlander allowed only two hits. He's 15-3. Dodgers just played 8 games with the Giants and won all 8. Although Clayton Kershaw had to leave yesterday, lower back pain. The ex-Met Noah Syndergaard got the win his Phillies debut. The Phillies have released ex-Yankee shortstop D.D. Gregorius. He was hitting just .210 with only one home run. The NFL appealing the decision to suspend Deshaun Watson only 6 games for his sexual misconduct. And the NFL named former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey to hear that appeal. Reportedly, Watson turned down an NFL offer to have the suspension be 12 games. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. Lots of shares to keep an eye on this morning for Bloomberg's Laura Wright, considering the parade of earnings reports we've gotten this week. And Laura, what a beat for Lyft.
Yeah, the U.S. pure play ride-hailing firm out with second quarter results. Ahead of the bell, Lyft is up almost 8%. It was record earnings, adjusted EBITDA of $79 million for the quarter. That far surpassed the average analyst estimate. Look, this mirrors what we saw from Uber earlier this week as its competitors saw record gross bookings, economic reopening, clearly a tailwind, along with a normalization of the driver shortage.
Yeah, interesting as well, considering Lyft doesn't necessarily have the same kind of broad portfolio of services that Uber offers, but that's
exactly.
Not the only gig economy company that's doing well on earnings.
The delivery firm DoorDash up nearly 12% now in pre-market trading. It was a slight beat on revenue, but notably customers placed 426 million orders in the 3 months ending June. That's a record. Look, even with economic reopening and inflation eating into disposable incomes, we are all now habitual takeaway eaters. I can speak for myself. Yeah. I know many others are also. So it's kind of how much that habit is ingrained within our spending habits.
Yeah, and speaking of discretionary spending, we're all keeping an eye on whether travel is starting to pick back up again, whether people are getting outside. And you look at Expedia's earnings, and that's sort of playing into the story that maybe a lot of people are sort of putting the pandemic behind them.
Yeah, given it's a Friday, we have to discuss our holiday bookings platform. Now, for Expedia, second quarter revenue beat estimates coming in at $3.1 billion. There is so much pent-up demand in the sector. Now, Expedia expect bookings in the current quarter to be ahead of where they were in 2019. If you remember earlier this week, it was bookings that were the Achilles heel for Airbnb, which projected stable bookings growth. That was what spooked the market. That said, it is still an unknown to what extent diminished disposable incomes will deter customers, as well as all these scenes of chaos and flight cancellations at airports.
So quite a few big movers in the pre-market, even with the broader market little changed. Thanks for this, Laura. Good having you on with us. Bloomberg's Laura Wright, keeping an eye on stocks on the move in the pre-market. And ahead of the open, ahead of July payrolls, futures are little changed. We have S&P futures right now down 2 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures are lower by 22 points. 10-year Treasury is down 2/32. The yield 2.69%, yield on the 2-year 3.05%. NYMEX crude's little change, down 8 cents, $88.48 a barrel. COMEX gold down $5.30 at $18.01.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0229 against the dollar. Bitcoin up 3%, $23,200. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine today, heat advisory till 8 tonight, can't rule out a shower or storm, going up to near 95 degrees, upper 80s tomorrow, back in the low 90s Sunday. Right now, 79 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures little change this morning as we await the July jobs report. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are quiet right now. Dow futures higher by 30 points. S&Ps are down 2, while NASDAQ futures decline by 20. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.7%. Gold is down 4. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin trading higher by 3%. Shanghai rose 1.2% overnight, while European markets are posting modest losses this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, like you said, the 8:30, the July jobs report. After the bell last night, Beyond Meat cut its sales outlook. Amgen profit and sales beat estimates, and Block gross payment volume missed estimates. In other news, Tesla shareholders approved a 3-for-1 stock split. And wrapping things up, Ingersoll Rand was cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Kellogg was raised to neutral over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. China said it would sanction House Speaker Nancy Pelosi after she defied Beijing by becoming the highest-ranking U.S. politician to visit Taiwan in 25 years. The measures are also on Pelosi's immediate family. Senate Democrats say they have reached an accord on changes to their tax legislation. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema, a pivotal vote says she is ready to move forward on the bill. In baseball, the Mets beat the Braves 6-4. The Red Sox lost to the Royals 7-3. The Nationals and Giants also lost. The A's beat the Angels 8-7. In the NFL Hall of Fame game last night, the Raiders over the Jaguars 27-11. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 10 in the nation for engineering by Money.com. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. U.S. health officials have declared monkeypox a public health emergency. That's a step that will free up funding, treatment, and other services to fight the virus. The U.S. leads the world with known cases, more than 6,000 of them. South Korea has joined the stampede to the moon with the launch of a lunar orbiter that will scout out future landing spots. The satellite launched by SpaceX is taking a long roundabout path to conserve fuel and will arrive in December. If successful, it'll join spacecraft from the U.S. and India already operating around the moon and a Chinese rover exploring the moon's far side. And Facebook parent Meta Platforms has sold $10 billion in its first ever corporate bond deal. Meta had been one of few S&P 500 companies without debt. The company's stance on borrowing may have shifted with the state of its business. Meta just posted its first quarterly revenue decline. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include Democrats in the Senate agreeing on a revised tax and energy spending bill with stock buybacks included. China announcing sanctions against Speaker Pelosi and other countermeasures against the U.S. after the Speaker's trip to Taiwan. And lawyers for former President Trump reportedly in talks with federal prosecutors over January 6th. Let's bring back Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. So, Emily, when it comes to the Inflation Reduction Act, as it's known in the Senate, it sounds like the last Democratic holdout, Kyrsten Sinema, may have gotten the changes she was looking for.
She did indeed, and she announced last night that she is going to be a yes on this legislation. This is a huge win for the Biden administration, a huge win for Democrats, but it's not quite done yet. They do still have to go through that Senate parliamentarian, make sure that everything they want to bring through the special reconciliation process can be brought, because it ain't just anything that can go. They also have to survive what is known as a vote-a-rama, where Republicans will introduce many, many amendments over the course of, in the past, these things have been like 40 hours. Trying to see if they can add some provisions to the bill that might ultimately kill it. However, Democrats are just very much ready to go forward on this one and to do what needs to be done. Remember, just a few weeks ago, they didn't think they were going to get anything from this package. And the fact that you then saw that Schumer-Manchin agreement emerge, and really Senator Kyrsten Sinema was the last piece here.
Yeah, there was a note yesterday from Greg Valliere at AGF Investments saying the bill is in deep trouble. What were the changes specifically on the tax provisions that Senator Sinema achieved here?
So the big thing, and we knew that this was going to be a problem for the senator from the beginning, was this narrowing of the carried interest loophole. Senator Sinema has been very much against that. She wants to keep that carried interest, the lower taxes on that, in place for benefiting wealthy investors. And she did get that. What the trade-off was, because that provision was supposed to help bring in revenue to the U.S., they've now added a 1% new tax on corporate stock buybacks. And they've also done a couple tweaks to that minimum 15% tax on corporations, and that's going to try and benefit manufacturers. So those are sort of the key changes that we're looking at. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said this bill is still going to reduce the deficit by about $300 billion. We are looking for additional details on that today. This deal was just announced late last night. But Senate Democrats are moving ahead with this. They've scheduled votes for Saturday on a procedural motion, and they expect to work through the weekend.
How much political capital is President Biden putting on passage of this bill? As you know, Emily, his approval ratings are very low.
That's a really interesting question, Nathan. I mean, certainly this bill is something that Democrats are going to tout as a win. It is something they are going to talk about on the campaign trail. But it's interesting. Remember, they passed that major infrastructure bill last year. When I've talked with voters and there's been studies and research sort of bearing this out, a lot of Americans still don't know that that bill was passed. They don't see any impacts on it of their daily lives. And so I think the real trick for Democrats here is it's going to have to be messaging, because some of the provisions, like ones to lower drug prices, those aren't going to go into effect right away. You're not going to wake up the day after this bill is passed and been like, oh, wow, I'm now paying less for certain prescription drugs. So this is going to be important. I think any sort of major legislation like this is important, particularly as you get close to an election year. But at the same point, I don't want to sort of overestimate the impact Americans are going to feel, at least not immediately after this legislation would pass.
Now, let's turn to geopolitics now, because there have been a lot of developments just this morning following Speaker Pelosi's visit to Taiwan. China has announced a number of countermeasures.
A lot here going on, Nathan. China has halted numerous discussions with the U.S. on military, on climate, on immigration, on crime. They're continuing these massive military drills, these warships crossing Taiwan's Strait dividing line and missile tests. And as we just noted a few minutes ago, they've sanctioned House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, as well as her family, making her the highest U.S. official to be sanctioned. One of the things that's really notable here, Nathan, because sometimes you look at these sanctions and you're like, well, you know, it's not going to impact the speaker's day-to-day life necessarily. But the U.S. declined to sanction the number three top Chinese official over his role in imposing the national security law in Hong Kong. So you saw this is a little bit of an escalation for China to put these sanctions into place. And certainly there's a lot of questions about how much this might continue. Yesterday, the Biden administration summoned China's ambassador to the White House to reiterate the Biden administration does not want a crisis in the region. They want to keep the status quo. They don't want that to change. But now you're hearing Secretary of State Anthony Blinken saying that they do believe China is trying to change the status quo around Taiwan. Certainly, this is something we're going to be following very closely.
And finally, Emily, reports that former President Trump's lawyers are now talking with the Justice Department in their grand jury probe into January 6th. This is above and beyond the House January 6th committee, right?
Right. Remember, there are a number of different investigations going on, including this one by the Justice Department. This appears to be the first sign of talks between two sides as this probe has gone on. And a lot of the talks have revolved around whether Trump's going to be able to shield conversations he had while he was president, what the extent of that executive order is actually going to look like and be. Certainly, there's a lot left in the Justice Department's investigation, in the House's January 6th panel, a number of different groups looking into various aspects of what Trump and his campaign did in their attempt to overturn the 2020 elections. And I think the fact that these conversations are starting at this point shows how far into the investigation they are and kind of how real some of these threats have become to Trump and to people in his orbit.
Yeah, as he's thinking about announcing another run for president, he's hinted at it very strongly over the last few months here. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, as always, thanks for the update from Washington, D.C. Get more on all these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Of course, the big investor focus out of Washington, D.C. is the Labor Department. The release of July payrolls coming up in just about an hour and a half. Ahead of that, S&P futures are down 4 points, Dow futures up 14, NASDAQ futures lower by 30 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32nd yield, 2.69%, yield on the 2-year, 3.06%. NYMEX crude debt is down 0.5%, down 51 cents, 88.03 gets you a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. And the euro right now is at 1.0232 against the dollar. Bitcoin, $23,100. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz take you the rest of the way. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.